In our gospel today, Jesus in Mark chapter 12, 28 to 34, teaches us that love is the fundamental commandment. And the expression of that love is the love of God, love of neighbor, and love of self. That means that the commandment to love starts first in the love of God. Love of neighbors second, love of oneself third. But the big question is, how do you love God in return? If God first loves us, how do we love God in return? And that is the first commandment. The first reading, actually, the gospel was quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. The first reading tells us that to love God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul is the first among all the commandments. Among all the commandments. If you have seen the Orthodox Jews, even right now in Israel, they have phylacteries on their forehead. Sometimes you will find them on their left arm near the heart, the nearest, you know, this place where it is on the level of the heart. Those small phylacteries, or sometimes we call it the tefillin, is a small box, a skin box. And you know what's inside that phylacteries? Verses in the Torah. And the most famous verse is Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 to 5. Shema Israel, Adonai Elohenu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God is Lord alone. Reminding them, to constantly remind them that this is the first and foremost commandment. To love God. Why? Because God loves us first. Now, if God loves us first, what are the implications? First, that we should trust God. We should trust God. Because He loves us. St. Paul said, when we are still sinners, God loves us already. And in fact, He offered Himself. The high priest in the second reading, in Hebrews chapter 7, is not like the high priest of old. Once a year, they would enter into the Holy of Holies and offer that ultimate sacrifice. And only the high priest can enter the Holy of Holiest. But when Jesus came, that sacrifice was fulfilled once and for all. Meaning, there is only one sacrifice. And that ultimate sacrifice is made by Jesus. The Lamb that was slain. The Lamb of God as a ransom for all. Trust God. If He made that greatest sacrifice for our salvation, then we should trust God. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8 says, He who does not love does not know God. Why? Because God is love. And that is why we have to trust God. Because He loves us. And that is unconditional love. That love will always be there. Second, salvation is the expression, the greatest expression of God's love. Greatest expression of God's love. That is why in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says there, God so loved the world that He gave us His only Son. Probably I said this before. One of the things that attracted me to conversion, actually, was not only the lifestyle of the people that I've seen trying to live a Christian, a good Christian life. Another one was actually their songs. Their songs. The songs that praise God, the songs that uplifts your spirit. When we were singing the glory, when we were singing the Psalms this morning, I felt it again. I felt it again. There's always that opportunity for us to praise God, especially when we sing the glory to God. The glory to God. So that when you come to Mass, when we sing the glory to God, please sing it with all your heart. Because that's praising God this time of the Mass. When we were singing the Psalms, oh, wow, so good, so nice. And I can tell you this, coming from so many of our parishioners who have attended Masses in other parishes when they are, especially the snowbirds. Our psalm, Matt does a very good responsorial psalm, preparation for this responsorial psalm. You can always participate. You can almost, you know, own the psalms when we're reading it, especially when we are responding to the psalms that is being proclaimed. Love God. And the expression of God's love is that salvation that God has given us. Third, trust God. Trust God. There is a song which attracted me so much in, and it was sung by an artist by the name of Basil Valdez. And the song goes this way. And he said, cast your burdens upon me, those who are heavenly laden. Come to me, all of you who are tired of carrying heavy load. For the yoke I will give you is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, and I will give you rest. You know that song came from Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. One of the implications of God loving us so much that we can trust God, that we can rest with Him. We are struggling so much in this world. We are trying to, sometimes some people would say, Father, I'm trying to live just day by day. God is inviting us. Rest in God. Psalm 46 verse 10 is a constant echoing words of God saying, be still and know that I am God. Now Matthew chapter 11 verse 28 say, telling us, all you are weary and find life burdensome, come to me and I will give you rest. Lastly, the last implication, because God loves us so much, we can be confident with God. We can put all our confidence in the Eucharist. We can put all our confidence in our Lord in the Eucharist. Every time we come here to celebrate the Eucharist, bring everything in your hearts, in your soul, and offer it to God. And the things that God has given you, bring all yourself as a thanksgiving, and as a community, we praise God in the Eucharist. Why? Because John chapter 6 verse 34 says, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never hunger. He who believes in me will never thirst. Will never thirst. That is the promise of Jesus. And that is why it's so important that because God has loved us so much, that we should trust Him, that we should always remember that salvation is the greatest expression of God's love, that we can rest in God's peace, in God's hand, with all our burdens, with all our problems. And lastly, that we can have confidence in God. Our prayer this Sunday is very easy. Lord, help us to love and to keep on loving. One of the expressions of our love for God is through our stewardship. God has given us so much, but how do we take care of the gifts of God? And today we have Paul and Sunghae Novak to give us a sharing on stewardship.
Good morning. This is Sunghae, as Father said, and I am simply known as her husband. We humbly and nervously stand before you to quickly share our story, and it's a story about money and time, just like so many family stories. While the story goes back some 40 years, this talk won't last quite that long. We're approaching our 70s, so I have to speak quickly. I was born in Phoenix in the 50s, one of eight Novak children. The 10 of us lived in a tiny 1,400 square foot home, Dad making $3,000 a year with no benefits as the first lay teacher amongst many Jesuits at Brophy College Prep. My mom rightfully declared herself the president of the Faculty Wives Club. Mom worked in our school cafeteria at St. Francis, and she never got paid except with food that was left over to bring home for the family for dinner that night. Consequently, our dinners looked much like our lunches. Despite living in poverty, we were a very happy family, and I would later learn that my parents actually tithed what little they had. Sunghae was also born in the 50s in the midst of the Korean War, so she too knows all too well the virtues of poverty. Sunghae and I followed in our parents' footsteps, at least the part about starting out in poverty. We did that very well. While we were financially poor, we have always felt spiritually rich. As cliche as that may sound, it's true. Even though we have suffered through numerous family tragedies and disappointments throughout our married lives, we have always felt that God blesses us with way more than any one person or one family deserves. Even during the darkest times, we knew that there was likely someone within our midst who was suffering much greater than we were. When we first married, we mutually agreed to make giving back to God and to others a priority in our lives. Well, actually, it was more like Sunghae saying, this is what we're going to do, and I nodded wisely. As a young enlisted soldier, and as our family grew to 3, 4, and finally 5, we struggled to make it from payday to payday. But Sunghae saw to it that part of our tight budget included giving. One of Sunghae's favorite phrases is, and she was mainly talking to me, it's not enough simply to pay lip service, Novak, to the one who never, ever disappoints us, to the one who never abandons us, to the one who gives us all that we need. We must show our absolute gratitude by giving more than we think we can afford. It's kind of our way of sacrificing, per se. She says it's so easy to give an amount that doesn't hurt, but it shows our Lord our true gratitude and love when we give a bit more than we think we can actually afford. And Sunghae makes our giving very deliberate. Online giving is a great way of giving, but she refuses to do online. She prefers writing each check. She believes there's something about putting pen to paper as she speaks a few words of gratitude to God, as we do. And she writes the checks on Monday for the next weekend, immediately following the weekend masses, as a way of demonstrating that this comes before anything else. There have been times when we just couldn't do the full 10%, so we supplemented our giving by teaching religious ed for 12 years in Korea, Germany, and Colorado, served in liturgical ministries, and served on pastoral councils. As the years passed and we began to make more money and the oldest child graduated from Catholic school, Sung-hae was the first up to suggest that we increase our giving. My response was, "Don't you think we should wait a little while and see how things work out first?" Her response was, "Absolutely not." Then one child moves out and we'd find that we had a bit more money, or we made final payment on a car payment. Each time I suggested we just wait and see approach, only to be strongly admonished by you know who. And it truly seems that the more we gave, the more God blessed us. To you young parents, that part about the kids moving out, be forewarned that they might come back from time to time. We believe that if we don't share the gifts that God has given us, he will give them to someone else, someone more deserving, someone more generous. Not out of anger or spite, but simply because he intends for us to share all that we have with the world around us. For it is only through his goodness that we even have what we have in the first place. Here's the only scriptural quote I'll offer today, and it's from Proverbs chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. "Some give freely, yet grow all the richer. Others withhold all that is due, and only suffer want. A generous person will be enriched, and one who gives water gets water." Sung-hae tells me and the children, we have health and strength and happiness and kindness and love and faith and money, all things that can be shared for the good of others, and God promises we will never run out. Then she says, "We're going to share those gifts." And again, I smartly agree with her. We give to other charities on a regular basis too, but God, through this parish and its spiritual leadership, has blessed us and our family so much that we want to help build up this parish for generations to come by giving generously. Sung-hae even made me designate the parish as a beneficiary for part of my life insurance, so there should be plenty of smiling and celebration at my funeral when that time comes. Thank you for listening and laughing, and may God continue to bless our priests, all you wonderful congregants, and this most amazing parish of ours. Thank you.